From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin gets the latest HPAI update from Ag Secretary Vilsack, Riley checks in with Iowa State climatologist Dr. Justin Glisson, and Andy speaks with Benton County farmer Wayne Sela. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, gorgeous again here on Iowa Ag Matters. The sun is out. We'll be into the 70s. Looks like the temperatures are warming up and the conditions are drying out. Some chances of rain next week, certainly, but much less and much smaller amounts after widespread reports of an inch plus across much of the state, even into some of our neighboring states. Talked with producers across the river to the west in York, Nebraska this morning. They had about 1.1 inches. So Dustin was flying back through it from Washington, D.C. And welcome back. First of all, I'm glad that we got you out of the nation's capital unscathed.
Yes, I am pretty glad about that myself, Andy. Getting out of there was, I'll tell you one thing, though. Don't ever talk about a fertilizer shortage, because you can go to Washington, D.C. and get quite a bit of it when you're out there talking with folks. But so definitely a great event, National Association of Farm Broadcasting's Washington Watch event. We get to go up and talk with the folks at USDA as we've sent stuff back. We go up to the Hill, up there during the release of the Farm Bill framework from the House Ag Committee and the Senate Farm Bill version from House Ag Committee leader Debbie Stabenow. They talked to us here. Quite an interesting trip. We'll get into that a little bit later. And, of course, the rain. You guys are talking about all the rain. We didn't see much. I was impressed to see wet grass when I was walking around in different places, but it was very hot. 70s here today, that was about the low when I was out there. We were seeing a lot of days in the 90s, and it was quite humid. But let's kick things off. Matt Bennett, agmarket.net, sitting down right now to talk grains with Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Matt Bennett of agmarket.net for our opening market discussion. Matt, what are we seeing taking place in the grains here on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, it's another friendly day so far. I mean, as we get started here, we got green on the screen. It sure seems like the funds are continuing to buy out of their short positions. At the same time, I think the farmer is maybe a little bit of a reluctant seller. I think tight-fisted, tight mentality continues even in the face of a rally. Which concerns me somewhat. I think that we should reward a rally as it shows up. But regardless, it certainly is a positive feel as we get started today.
So what has you maybe a little bit wary then, Matt? Is it just the overall economy? Is it, what would you say has you a little bit in between there?
Well, I mean, I think we should reward a market when we're looking at such big stocks. You know, I mean, we're, you know, before this next WASDE report, we're already looking at, a 2-1 on corn, and we're looking at a 3-40 on beans. I mean, those are big stocks numbers compared to the last few years. So, you know, if you're going to go ahead and plant 90 million acres of corn and 86.5 beans, obviously you could continue to have those big stocks numbers just with normal size crops, let alone a bumper crop. So, yeah, I guess I'm a little bit concerned that, typically our minds tell us that we should be bullish as the market goes up. It's just the way that it works. Whereas I'm more along the lines, I'd much rather see a producer step in, and reward markets as they go higher. Typically, if you sell in increments, you're going to have more to sell later if it goes on up. So, yeah, I'm just a little bit hesitant, to get too bullish whenever the market's going up.
Matt, what's driving the soybean meal boost that we've seen here this week and kind of how that relates to the soybean complex?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about issues, of course, in Argentina. They had a strike, called the strike off, and then you turn around here and, you've got weather issues going on in Brazil. I just think that products had been beaten up for a while, and then, you get a little bit of friendly news finally come in here, and it certainly has played into things. Now, I think that as far as Argentina goes, their problems are probably not completely over. It was a very short strike, but at the same time, it tells you there's issues, and with them being such a big world player in soybean meal, I think it's got a lot to do with the strength in soybean meal this week here.
Well, we'll have more from Matt Bennett at agmarket.net coming up a little later on in the program talking livestock. But right now, Andy Peterson's ready to go with round one of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
continuing to get better and to a certain degree dispel some myths out there through the usage of Iowa Soybean Association's tile water monitoring program. One of the participants is Benton County producer Wayne Celia.
The end result in this particular watershed we're working with was at the spot where this creek ends up going into the Cedar River. We have not found yet that they've taken water samples that were above the drinking water standard. So for me, you know, I'd celebrate the achievements of the producers who participated in saying, hey, you know, we're doing what we ought to be doing.
To further the conversation, the body of water he's referencing is a direct feeder to the drinking water supply for the city of Cedar Rapids. Now you can get signed up for the tile monitoring program at iasoybeans.com and learn more in the latest episode of Pods of Potential at iowaagnet.com.
Number two.
Positive developments regarding farm bill movement, which has certainly been a hot topic of conversation among Iowa farmers. Just hours after House Ag Committee Chair G.T. Thompson released his farm bill overview, Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow released the Rural Prosperity and Food Security Act, containing more than 100 bipartisan bills designed to put the farm bill back on track. Stabenow says that farmers, families, and rural communities, quote, cannot wait any longer for the 2024 farm bill.
Number one.
Getting better, the dry conditions across Iowa, given the rainfall that we've seen here the past few weeks, according to state climatologist Justin Glisson.
We're seeing a good improvement across the state, and this is the second week in which we've seen pretty broad scale one category improvement, meaning if you're in a drought category, let's say D1, moderate drought, you've been upgraded to D0, that abnormal dry category.
Referencing the drought monitor, now he says next week does look much better in terms of a planting window across much of the state. You can find more of Riley's conversation with Justin on iowaagnet.com, including a look ahead to temperatures later on this summer. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Yeah, a lot of talk certainly in Washington, D.C., about a lot of things Dustin mentioned earlier. Farm bill conversations, certainly the announcement of the GREET model, which has been sort of a lukewarm response here in Iowa that we can get into. But also the bird flu and dairy herds. Conversation about that, including from Secretary Vilsack, and we'll hear that coming up on Iowa Ag Matters in just a moment.
Well, back from Washington, D.C., and of course, we got to talk to a lot of policymakers. And as we said, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was among them as we talked about a lot of things, including, as Andy said earlier, the GREET model and farm bill and much more. But the one thing we talked a lot about was H5N1, what we used to know as the bird flu. And he gave us the updated response from USDA.
Let me first of all talk about H5N1 so that everybody knows what we're doing and where that is. The basics and fundamentals of H5N1 have not changed since the beginning of this process when we first detected the virus in the cattle. The risk to people is low. Dairy cows are recovering, and there's no indication of mortality, and the food is safe. So really, at the end of the day, that's really what you need to know, and that's what people need to know. Now, I can talk to you about all of the things we're doing that are underlying and supporting those three conclusions. I can talk about the testing that we've done and we continue to do on milk and beef to make sure that folks are reassured. I can talk about the federal order that we put in place designed to limit the risk and minimize the risk by preventing the transportation of dairy cows that lactating dairy cows that have the virus so that they don't spread the virus. I can talk about our efforts to work with farmers to try to get information, going on the farm and visiting with them and talking to them about their operations so that we understand and can appreciate how this may have started, how it may have spread. we need continue to need farmer cooperation in that sense. I can talk about the research that we continue to do, and which we frankly were doing before all of this, certainly as it relates to poultry and vaccines. I could talk to you about keeping an eye on the recovery of these dairy cows to determine whether or not there is a lingering impact or effect of the virus on productivity. And I can talk about our efforts to reach out to producer groups, to the industry, to ag commissioners, to state veterinarians, to farm worker groups, to our own staff that work in processing facilities and grading, congressional engagement, the media, all of you folks, which you are the ag and farm media. There is the political media, there is the social media, and there's a legacy media. So all of that is going on. But at the end of the day, there are three things you need to know. One, the risk to people is low. Two, the food is safe. And three, the cattle are surviving. And there's a lot of conversation around all of this. But if you remember those three things, you're remembering the most important aspect of all of this. In the meantime, there are lots and lots and lots of people working 24/7. And I will tell you that our team has worked incredibly hard and attempted to work in a collaborative way with folks who are also working hard on the CDC and the FDA side in terms of this and this situation. So I think it's just really important that you know that.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, the market's jumping, as Matt referenced earlier. It looks like soybeans have taken the baton from wheat a week ago, and maybe corn will take it next week, huh? Nice to see a good old-fashioned spring rally. That, of course, impacting basis levels, and Dustin has cash prices for you. Coming up in a moment.
It's time to run down some elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Friday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Elevators have made the switch to the July contract. Let's see how they're shaping up today. Let's start with ADM Burlington. They're a nickel under on corn today at $4.59. Soybeans 7 cents under at $12.03. Cargill Eddyville 2 cents over on corn. Cash bid today $4.66. New Co-op Algona 3 cents under on corn $4.61. Soybeans 55 cents under with a cash bid $11.55. Ag State Sheldon, a dime over on corn today, $4.74. Soybeans, 78 cents under. They're at $11.32. Ag State Elta, 12 cents under on corn. Cash bid, $4.52. Soybeans, 62 cents under at $11.48. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 12 cents over on corn, $4.76. Soybeans, a nickel over. Cash bid, they're $12.15. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, they are a penny over on corn, $4.65. Soybeans, 55 cents under at $11.55. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 4 cents over on corn today, $4.68. ADM Des Moines, they are a dime under on soybeans. They're at $12 even for their cash bid. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn, $4.59. Soybeans, 55 cents under at $11.55. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, a dime under on corn. Cash bid, $4.54. Soybeans, 55 cents under. They're at $11.55. New Co-op Sheraton, 20 cents under on corn today. They're at $4.44. Soybeans, 60 cents under. They're at $11.50. Walk-on Feed Ranch, 13 cents under on corn, 4.51. Soybeans, 41 cents under at 11.69. New Co-op Glidden, 3 cents under on corn. Cash bid, 4.61. Soybeans, 50 cents under at 11.60. Innovative Ag Farley, 15 cents under on corn, 4.49. Soybeans, 49 cents under. Cash bid, 11.61. Cargill Muscatine, 9 cents under on corn, 4.55. Soybeans, 12 cents under at 11.98. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. As a check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
We've got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of your midday grain and livestock numbers. Don't forget about our free market podcast. Three times a day, you get market analysis sent free of charge to your mobile device through Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean, and iowaagnet.com. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come. Stay with us.
Well, as frustrating as it may be here to sit here and wait for conditions to be fit to plant, we're going to need this moisture throughout the growing season. It seems like we always do. And we've seen some progress, quite a bit of it, actually, in the drought monitor. Riley Smith now will bring him in to visit on all of those topics with state climatologist Justin Glisson.
First off, Justin, great to have you on. What do we see in the latest drought monitor report?
Hey, Riley, always a pleasure to be with you. Yep. So we're seeing a good improvement across the state. And this is the second week in which we've seen pretty broad scale one category improvement, meaning if you're in a drought category, let's say D1, moderate drought, you've been upgraded to D0, that abnormal dry category. So with the severe weather that we've had over the last several weeks, we've had multiple thunderstorms, multiple waves of low pressure systems coming through, bringing us widespread rainfall over several hours or days, which is the type of rainfall that we need. Now, of course, if you're underneath a supercell thunderstorm, you're going to get a lot more and a lot heavier rainfall that basically runs off. But overall, we're seeing an uptick in stream flows and soil moisture profiles, just what we need as we enter the growing season.
And I know, you know, we are getting kind of to that point where it's late enough due to the rain delays that there's a little bit of concerns about late planting, but I would say, honestly, at this point, when we're looking at those drought conditions, getting that moisture back in there, if you can, you know, plant a little bit later without it being too late and also get that moisture, that would be the best case scenario.
Yeah, you summed it up correct. And if you look at the potential as we move out of this strong El Nino in the winter into early spring to the potential for a weak to moderate La Nina in summer, if you look at past years where we've seen this rapid transition, 2016, back in the late 90s, we typically see a warmer than average summer. Now, that doesn't mean that June, July, August are going to be exceptionally warm, but we do see a warm signal. So banking this soil moisture right now, if we do have dry stretches through the growing season, is only beneficial. Yes, we've seen delays out there, and we really want the planters to get out there and finish. But this rainfall is also much needed, given, again, 200 weeks consecutive of moderate drought somewhere in the state.
And we know, too, that, you know, we've seen in plenty of years past that if there's a couple of days of dry weather, farmers are going to get out there and take advantage of that. So if we can just get some of those days mixed in there, you know, I'm sure we'll see plenty of planting progress. Because, I mean, we've already seen in this week's crop progress report that, you know, like beans, a quarter of them are already in the ground.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I was actually surprised by how much days of field work that we had, 4.2, I believe, given how much rainfall that we've seen with several severe weather events as well. 41 tornadoes, that breaks the previous record for April, which is 40 tornadoes. So a very active month in April. But, you know, farmers are resilient individuals. They'll get out when that window forms, and I think we'll get planted.
So obviously we can't really predict the severe weather, but we do know that for 10 to 15 days, we're looking at that periods of rainy weather. Once again, I know this weekend looks pretty rainy as well. Are we looking at any elevated severe weather risk with those, or are we mostly just looking at maybe lower scale rain events?
Sure. We have a few products that kind of give us an idea of what we can expect. The Climate Prediction Center has the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day outlooks on temperature and precipitation. Then the Storm Prediction Center has convective outlooks that go out to 8 days and kind of give us an idea of a larger scale setup possible for severe weather. We don't see anything right now in those 8 day outlooks. On the Climate Prediction Center side is higher chances of warmer temperatures early in May, and then moving towards near normal temperatures towards the middle of May. On the precipitation side, we still see an elevated signal for wetter conditions. So that could suggest, at least in the near term, sub-severe type of storms. Now, you can never rule out strong or severe thunderstorms with these low pressure systems and cold fronts that come through. But overall, it looks like we're still in that active storm track, but we're not going to see several days in which we have active rainfall across the state.
Well, thanks to state climatologist Dr. Justin Glisson for providing us with that information. Andy Peterson set to go here with round two now of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Expressing disappointment in the GREET model as published by the Department of Treasury earlier this week, final guidance on eligibility for the 40B Sustainable Aviation Fuel Production Credit enacted in the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, the Iowa Corn Growers Association leadership, including President Jolene Reason, expressed concern, saying that while it's positive to see the first ever climate smart farming practices included in the guidance, the fact the practices are not inclusive of what most farmers are doing, combined with the requirement that practices that are included must be bundled, will, quote, exclude most Iowa corn from eligibility for the credit.
Number two.
Continuing to get better and to a certain degree dispel some myths out there through the usage of Iowa Soybean Association's tile water monitoring program. One of the participants is Benton County producer Wayne Celia.
The end result in this particular watershed we're working with was at the spot where this creek ends up going into the Cedar River. We have not found yet that they've taken water samples that were above the drinking water standard. So for me, I'd celebrate the achievements of the producers who participated in saying, hey, we're doing what we ought to be doing.
To further the conversation, the body of water he's referencing is a direct feeder to the drinking water supply for the city of Cedar Rapids. Now, you can get signed up for the tile monitoring program at iasoybeans.com and learn more in the latest episode of Pods of Potential at iowaagnet.com.
Number one.
Getting better the dry conditions across Iowa, given the rainfall that we've seen here the past few weeks, according to state climatologist Justin Glisson.
We're seeing a good improvement across the state, and this is the second week in which we've seen pretty broad scale one category improvement, meaning if you're in a drought category, let's say D1, moderate drought, you've been upgraded to D0, that abnormal dry category.
Referencing the drought monitor, now he says next week does look much better in terms of a planting window across much of the state. You can find more of Riley's conversation with Justin on iowaagnet.com, including a look ahead to temperatures later on this summer. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Well, it's time to take a look at those midday numbers coming up next here on Iowa Ag Matters. Let's get a full look at those grain and livestock prices with Mark and Andy. This is the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Lori Carter of Comstock for our Midday Market Discussion. Lori, what are we seeing taking place in the grains today?
So we see green across the board here this morning, maybe not quite as much as we did earlier in the day. In Kansas City wheat, well, actually Chicago wheat leading the rally, up 21 cents on the July. Kansas City's up 18 and a half. The corn, July actually down a half right now. The December still up 2 cents, and soybeans trading 6 to 7 higher. Kansas City wheat actually up into checking the recent highs made there. So far, not taking them out. On the corn, we actually have broken through recent highs, stumbling blocks, the highs that were made after the planting intentions report. So a little bit of a breakout there. Hope to have more follow through and close above those levels. At the moment, it looks iffy. Soybeans kind of having some strength the last couple of days. Those looking good as well. Part of that weakness in the dollar that kind of started out on Wednesday after the Fed meeting and the Chairman Powell's commentary late in the day, the dollar tipped over at that time, and we've seen a little more interest in all the grains ever since then.
That was Lori Carter with Comstock. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Mark, let's take a look at the livestock numbers here. Daily estimated cattle slaughter total numbers, 120,000 head. That's 5,000 less than a week ago. Boxes are mixed here at midday. 64 cents weaker. 107 loads of choice cut selling at 292.90. Select down 9 cents at 287.98 on a strong day. 30 loads of movement and spread narrowing to just $4.92. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter total numbers, 481,000 head. That's 4,000 less than a week ago and 10,000 more than a year ago. Quick check of the cash markets here. Yesterday's wrap-up for comparison purposes, barrows and gilts. Producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, a very light run, only 1,700 head and some change. The market was 24 cents lower with a weighted average price of $91.78. Formula purchases, about an average run, 142,000 head of sales. Weighted average price, $89.71. That market about 40 cents stronger. As far as what's happening here midday so far, pretty decent run of negotiated purchases, over 3,200 head. The market up $1.10, so sharply higher there, $90.53, the weighted average price. Formula purchases, a pretty light run, 115,000 head, the weighted average price at $89.54, so that market about 20 cents lower.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, July corn down 1 even at 458¾. July soybeans up 6¼ at 1205¼. July soybean meal up $2.10 at 367 even. July soybeans down a penny at 43.23. On the Merck, June live cattle up 12 cents at 176.92. May feeder cattle up 15 cents at 243.75. May lean hogs down 22 cents at 92.85. May pork cutout unchanged at $100.20. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Talked about grains and oil seeds finding some strength. What about the livestock? Well, we continue the market conversation here. Mark Magnuson visiting with Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net.
Let's go over to the other side of the ag marketplace and what is happening with the cattle and hogs.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday to have the cattle market so strong in the face of a strong corn rally here this week, that tells you that there was good news. And of course, it was that they didn't find this bird flu strain in meat that they had tested. That was very good news for the cattle market. Cattle market really suffered whenever they came out and said, hey, we're going to be testing meat. I don't even know why they came out and said it, Mark, to be honest with you, because it really threw the market into turmoil. Why don't you just test it and then tell us the results, you know, because if they're going to come out negative, of course, this is exactly what we saw play out. Is that the market plummeted and then you turn around and you rallied sharply here on Thursday on that good news. But I think right now, you know, whenever you look, for instance, at a cattle chart, it tells me that we're still kind of in this consolidation type range. I mean, we're looking at being in the midst of the moving averages. I think that a lot of traders are trying to figure out, you know, do they want to get super fly bullish just yet? Overall, numbers are very friendly. Fundamentals are very strong.
But I don't think you're going to see your really bullish numbers until probably after the middle of the year, probably closer in the fall time frame. I think, you know, you could maybe make a run at some really strong highs if the economy can sustain it.
So, Matt, with that good news then of, like you said, no remnants of the virus found in the beef, is this going to be then a short-term little blip, do you think, for the cattle market, and we could see things look a little bit better next week compared to what we saw this week?
You know, I think it's possible. You know, you want to look towards the cash markets. You want to look towards fat cattle prices. You know, boy, you're looking at some awfully lofty levels still. People are out there trying to hunt feeders, and it's hard to get feeders. I mean, it's really hard to get them bought. I mean, they're expensive out in the real world. So that tells me that demand's quite strong still. I think that you could see some support in here, but yesterday was a real strong day. You come in here today, and as we talk, feeders are down a little bit, and fats are up just maybe 20, 30 cents. And so that tells me that you may want to kind of wait before you get too bulled up just yet. I still see more of a consolidation type pattern until maybe you can tack on a couple of these cattle on feed reports, two or three of them in a row that's got really bullish numbers.
And then what about the hogs right now? What are we seeing with the hogs today?
Yeah, I mean, hogs are starting out with a bit of an easier tone. They certainly have kind of really fell off after you scored the high there last week. You know, you're pushing up towards $100. Let's talk front month May. I mean, basically, you've dropped off about $6. And so it's really been a tough ride. Obviously, we're trading triple digits in hogs, you know, for some time on some of your deferred contracts. Kind of backed off just a little bit. I think demand's backed off somewhat.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, the latest Pods of Potential episode is out. Andy Peterson will bring us a little bit of a preview of that coming up next on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
As you're hearing about in your three big Iowa Ag Matters today, the tile monitoring project with the Iowa Soybean Association providing some very valuable insight. This is Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin, Riley making it sound good. And now we visit with Benton County farmer Wayne Celia, who's a part of that tile monitoring project. In the latest episode of Pod's Potential podcast, he says that he's been pleased with the results.
I guess from my perspective, there's been a lot of folks want to throw rocks at the agriculture of the community, the farming community. You know, you're polluting this, you're polluting that. And I guess from my perspective, I said I just probably needed to see if that was a true statement based on good information or if that was just somebody's opinion based on whatever it's based on. But so I've worked with the Soil Conservation Service in our town here in Vinton for years. Matter of fact, I was on their I guess you'd call it board of directors. I was one of their commissioners for quite a few years ago, and I was comfortable working with those people. And I said the only way we learn is if we do some of this stuff. And so they say, hey, do you want it? And they said, sure. If we can learn something, that's cool. There's no downside to it. I think at one time we had four or five different sites. Some of them just didn't work out right for logistical reason. Who wants to walk out in the middle of a corn field the tail end of July and pull water out of an inlet pipe, you know? So maybe we've got it now to the sites we've got. They're taking the water samples. They're a little easier to get to, and you know, you can make good decisions if you've got good data. And I think with a few exceptions, we've got that done. You know, and 23 was a problematic year around here because we just couldn't buy a rain, and so some of the tile quit running. So you have no data, and that's just kind of the way it works. So you know, you just keep doing this stuff, but I'm pretty well pleased with the results we've got in our watershed. It, as I mentioned before earlier, and it, is that the end result in this particular watershed we're working with was at the spot where this creek ends up going into the Cedar River. We have not found yet that they've taken water samples that were above the drinking water standard. So for me, you know, I'd celebrate the achievements of the producers who participated in saying, hey, you know, we're doing kind of what we ought to be doing, and not to say that it can't be better, it sure can, but maybe we ought to be celebrated for what we're doing is making a difference. So enough of my chattering on that. I participated in about every program that looked like it made sense, and some when we did more of it, some we didn't. Life goes on, you know.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about what results you did get and what you learned then in 2023.
I don't think we learned an awful lot out of 23 because we just couldn't get those samples. I think from what we learned in years previous, I think it's fair to say that in periods of dry weather, there will probably be a buildup in a concentrate of nitrates. I don't know about how phosphorus works there, but I anticipate if it starts raining more normal, we're going to see a spike in the nitrates. It'll last for a month maybe, and then it'll level off and go back to where it was. So
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, just like that, we're at the end of this week's episodes of Iowa Ag Matters. Be looking for all our content online, iowaagnet.com. We'll continue to bring you information gathered at Washington Watch, a lot of great events. Again, USDA up on the Hill, even had a chance to talk with Iowa Senator Joni Ernst at her office. And, of course, we had a chance to go to the White House to get an ag briefing there as well. So there'll be more stories. Again, look for them coming up at iowaagnet.com. Follow us on Facebook, on X, on LinkedIn, and on our YouTube channel there as well. Thanks
to
Andy Peterson.
The White House? Really?
Yes, I went into the White House, sir.
You passed the security clearance?
I passed the security clearance and everything. You can find the picture even of me at the White House, Iowa, on Facebook.
I want to know how you managed to do that, but okay, fine. I'll take your word for it.
Wonders never cease. Well, have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week on Iowa Ag Matters.